Welcome, everybody, to this episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. This week is, I'm really excited about this one. I think this is a big passion, especially as we kick off the year and just what real estate is. So we're going to be really focused today with my co-host, Dave Donaldson. I'm Joe Martin, and I want to talk about leadership and advocacy in real estate. I think we've had a lot of great guests on. We've had a lot of great inspirational stories that people can relate to around resilience and just being tough. And I think right now I'm really excited to talk about leadership and advocacy in real estate, because I think it's actually the one thing that we don't have right now because of the chaos and uncertainty that's in the real estate market. And also just like the outside forces that are coming in on real estate from a DOJ, NAR, lawsuits, state level, federal level, like there's all kinds of chaos in real estate. And I think what's happening right now is due to the lack of advocacy, it's impacted leadership. And right now, I believe a lot of leadership, and so I'd love to talk to you about this, Dave, today, is like, I think right now in real estate, let's just like land the plane on a couple things, right? That real estate's in a recession. It's been in a recession since Q4 of 2023. You had 4 million transactions basically over the past like 2.5 years, and you got 7% interest rates, which is higher than it's been in over 30 years. Unit counts at its lowest point, and you've got some people tied up with, you know, historically low interest rates, so they want to sell. So now you're in a place of people needing to sell rather than wanting to sell because of life choices. Then you've got low unemployment, which is in high inflation rate, you know, inflation at 3%, unemployment like 4.1. So you're getting a place where the Fed is like, the outside of real estate, and real estate makes up about 30% of GDP, like all other economic markets are actually growing. So you can't cut rates in an area where you already have an expansion, because you would crush inflation even more, and you would have the appreciation of affordability inside real estate is going to be more of a problem. So I say all these market things because right now, outside of, like, you see the Wall Street booming and blah, 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 but like right now, this is the issue that all brokers are facing, agents are facing, and their consumers are facing, is that like an economic environment in real estate where it's not effective right now to buy because of interest rates. It's not, you don't really want to sell because you don't want to go into a higher interest rate. And might not. Now, the only positive right now is that when you look at January over January, so January of 2025 versus January of 2024, across the U.S., there's 25% more homes available, right? So, like, there's actually inventory sitting, days on market expanding.
Depending where you are.
Depending on where you are. Like, Connecticut's really bad, but the South is starting to increase. And the only other part that I'd add to the market is that a lot of people took out secondary mortgages, whether HELOCs or a secondary mortgage, and they've pulled equity. And what I've seen in the past like week from talking to a couple of the top teams in Northern Virginia is that short sales are happening, that they're actually starting to get some short sales.
Really?
Because of like them pulling out more equity, and some of the and the appreciation of the house is actually coming down a little bit than what it was. And so I actually think this is true because, you know, inflation's gone up. People's wages haven't tracked with it. They're still spending as it was back in COVID.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Like, I could see people getting into trouble without a doubt. Yeah. The differentiating factor here from short salesmen, because I think when people think short sales, they're thinking of value, right? So it's not that the values have depreciated, because it's anything but the truth. They're going up, and they're going to continue to go up in the short term. However, we don't know people's spending habits and what they've done or leveraged themselves into a situation of debt. Correct. So when we're talking about short sales, we're talking about what do you owe versus the value of your house, right? So you may have leveraged yourself to the hilt. It's not that all of a sudden the housing prices have gone down, because they haven't, right? On the
Correct.
So I just want to be clear when we're talking, like, our audience is just like, oh my God, just talking about short sales. Understanding what a short sale is a very big component of that. There's value in debt.
Correct. And I think it's just important as market indicators to recognize that a couple teams have already started to see an uptick in that type of situation. And there's also going to start to be challenges around foreclosures where people aren't making their payments. Because I don't think that, I think right now we're getting to a place where people don't have the inflation, cost of living. Is what it is. When eggs are more expensive and gas is more expensive, whatever, like, your cost of living has gone up. It's not a question. And people's wages have not tracked with it. So yeah, you're going to get to a place eventually where the savings runs out and people can't make their mortgage payments. So you're going to get foreclosed on. So you could have two different situations, short sales and foreclosures coming. I don't think it's that bad, but like you could see it be on the precipice of somebody getting into, you know, 90 days of delinquency. Okay, so that's the market, right? And I think here's where the leadership has to happen is that the industry itself has seen a lot of consolidation around just like compression, that brokerage margins have gone down. Agents are starting to now have to be better about articulating their value proposition to justify their professional service fees. And I think this is going to push a lot of transparency, and it's also going to bring a huge gap between the people that really are just like onesie twosie type of transactions with agents and the professional agents out there that really understand the full life cycle of a transaction for their consumers, and they're really advocating for those clients. And I think this is the advocacy part that I think is really important, is that we all know that for the consumer, that representation makes the most sense because most people don't know what's going on. Real estate is a huge wealth driver, but it's also a huge confidence driver. Right. And it also creates generational wealth, and it also fulfills on the American dream. And I firmly believe that people have pride around the fact that where I came from nothing, or I was able to achieve this thing, that people can go from being in an apartment building to owning a piece of land, to developing that land, and what the progress is, and the self-confidence and drive it takes to get there, gives people hope. And it also gives people a sense of pride and fulfillment. And I think that's besides the wealth and, you know, tax benefits and all that of home ownership. But we right now have a place where, because we haven't had advocacy about what real estate agents or realtors do for their clients, the outside forces being lawyers, DOJ, are basically saying, you're not transparent. We believe you're price fixing. We believe that you're actually increasing the cost of the transaction for home ownership. Hence, we're going to instill change upon you because you won't do it yourself.
So when you talk about leadership and advocacy, right? So there's upwards and downwards to that, right? There's leadership through brokerage, there's leadership through education, there's leadership through boards, there's leadership as the channels go up. Okay. Then there's the advocacy of, are they advocating for us in our industry, and are we advocating for our consumers? So it goes back to, what types of awareness are you understanding what's happening? That's part of what the conversation we're happening. How plugged are you into the industry of what's affecting the industry and what's affecting your consumers? And at the same time, are you engaging with your consumers and having the conversations that need to happen? Or do you understand where they are? Are you advocating on behalf of them? Because a lot of times what I have experienced, having gone through the downturn of 07, is people get scared and hide. They Yes. don't understand what's available to them. They find themselves in a, I'm in struggling at work, or I've outspent my coverage, or I'm struggling in any myriad of ways. But the real estate agent understanding that asset on their behalf and having regular conversations with them on any kind of cycle, or just paying attention because you can read people what they're saying on social media and understand that they're struggling. How are you reaching out and being the advocate for them to help protect them, protect their asset?
So I think there's a couple things that will land. I think I think it's good in on this, you know, episode to, you know, have some tangibles for people, is I brought up the market. The market itself is scary. It's changing. It's not what it was over COVID. It wasn't even what it was pre-COVID, right? So like you have like uncertainty. That is hard for people, right? That's number one. Number two, you've got lawsuits coming and changes of how those things happen. That's another uncertainty. How the commission structure is set up and whatever, and how that works with MLSs, that's another change, right? So there is complete and utter like uncertainty inside of, whether it's for brokers, agents, or consumers, like complete, yeah, like 100%, like it's a new world.
All of us.
And we're on the precipice of that, right? So the thing about that is that like what we're experiencing inside of the industry is a reaction to that uncertainty, which is fight, flight, or freeze. And when I talk about leadership inside of our industry, you have to recognize reality, and then you have to say there is three options. You can either take action, you can run away from it, or you can just freeze and do nothing and hope that it gets better. I think running away from what we could see is has been initiated change by outside lawsuits is dumb. And I also think freezing is dumb, because if we think that somehow it's going to go back to what it was, yeah, I believe you're delusional. And I think that if you look at the average, you know, age of people that are like real estate professionals, it's somewhat on, you know, the 50 above 55 mark. So you got like, why do I want to change? And like, now it's hard. Like if you talk to any agent right now that's representing clients, they're saying I'm working four times what I was to make the same amount of money I was making 2 years ago. Right. So that's reality. And I think leadership is saying, let me give you the one leadership piece I can talk about with fight, flight, and freeze. Flight, not a great idea. that is not smart. No. Freezing is once again not smart, because you get the rug pulled out from underneath you and you're not even know it, because you're in the business so much doing 30 to 60 day sales cycles. You're like, oh, what's not going to change? It's not going to change. And you give it another 18 months, you'll look up and the whole horizon's changed. So fight, and I don't use the aggressive word on it, action. Action right now in leadership and action in leading your people is the most important thing. And what do I think action needs to be? Action needs to be towards what does the consumer want? If you understand truly what the consumer wants by going to, you know, reading Housing Wire or going to Thousand Watt or figuring out what are the behavioral traits and the needs of buyers and sellers in the current market, which has shifted. You have a completely different needs right now with 7% interest rates and then a declaration by the feds to bring workers back in person. So you have different changes now, because now you're going to have a flood of roughly over 100,000 coming back into, at least in the DC metro where we're based out of, where people are going to have to like go into work now, which is going to say, how long are they going to want to be in the suburbs to commute? Are they going to quit? If they quit, and then if you have federal like funding go away. So like, you know, all this stuff is reality. So what's the action? Like, stop sitting and waiting for like the clouds to clear up and say, this is what it's going to be. Because by the time that happens, you're going to be behind the curve. And I think that's the piece to really understand, is that what's the action? And my action needs to be around what is the thing that my consumer wants. Consumer has more access to information. There's more transparency in your search portals. There's more information coming out based on lawsuits. NAR is having to take on a new PR campaign, so to, because of what they've come under suit for. And there's a whole disruption now, even in our industry, about what is the viability of NAR and what's their position. And I take a position, I think NAR does a great, they are great. They should be great at leading in leadership and in advocacy based on what consumers and the agents and brokers that represent them need in real estate. And action is the number one thing. And what does a consumer need? Consumer needs to know three things. They need to know that they've got a trusted advisor that's going to navigate different decisions to say, here's your different options, here's the repercussions for that. What's your recommendation? How do you want to go through that? They would need risk mitigation to make sure they're not going to make a mess up on the massive decision financially for them. And they also want to know that you're helping them maximize capitalization of the dollars that they're putting out. So if I'm an agent or broker, I'm sitting there talking about what's the market, what does the consumer need? And we need to start changing our business habits, not to be what's best for me to make the highest amount of dollars or to control certain information, but rather what is the consumer looking for in their home purchasing? And actually go towards that and disrupt towards the consumer, because any business that actually puts a consumer first, who actually pays for everything, you're going to have longstanding resources, meaning you're not going to be put out of business because you decided not to change. And that's the cab industry. That's Netflix, Blockbuster. Like it's happened before. It's just that I don't want to change. I don't know. I want the guarantee, and human beings want a guarantee. Hey, that I know if I do 1 + 1, it's going to equal 2. Well, we're in an industry right now that says 1 + 1 might not equal 2. And I can't guarantee what your answer is. Like, I can't tell you how many people, Dave, that I'm on phone calls with, and they're like, well, tell me exactly what my role is. Tell me exactly what that means and how I do it and how exactly I'm going to get a return on that. I'm like, if you're looking for those guarantees right now, I could tell you here's your guarantee, but I'd be lying to you. I don't know what your guarantee is. Yeah, but I know damn well if you go after the consumer and you say what's best for the consumer – and what is the advocacy inside the industry around real estate and what real estate could do for communities, for people, and actually what their needs are, and then figure out the best options around mortgage, title, and insurance to make sure the transaction's smooth. And I give them comparable costs for those services, but also make sure that the services themselves benefit them because they've got protection, they've got the right, you know, product in the mortgage to get under contract, and they've got the right insurance coverages on those assets. like start being an advocate for your people that you're representing and putting their needs first. And I think that's the part in our industry that hasn't stood up and said, stop telling me what's in it for you, agent or broker. Tell me how you can deliver on the gap for the consumer because they don't understand this transaction. If you do that and then create a viable margin for your business where you're not greedy, but you're actually delivering on that, that's the leadership of saying, stop doing this old crap that is only in benefit to the broker agent and start thinking about that client. Because if that client knows you took care of them and you did it for, you know, everyone expects to be paid for their work, but like deliver on that. Like deliver and be a tradesperson of knowing your craft and stop figuring out what's best for me or how do I get an extra dollar out of this or blah, like the selfishness of our industry. And we'll talk about leadership again on the brokerage side, but like this is the part that I think like what's the answer? Figure out what your consumer wants right now in this market and go 100% after that and be the raving fan of your consumer, whether it's seller or buyer.
Yeah, I mean, showing up. Here's what I am seeing though. Like I am seeing more people start to show up. Like I'm seeing people start to engage. I am seeing a lot of our associates, right, the agents out in the field that are in production, showing up for clarity's sake. What do I need to know? Whether it's everything we just covered, right? What's happening, double pressured settlements. Because the consumers on the other side, a lot of times they're not even, it's out there, but they're not overly versed to what's happening, right? So what are we prepared to tell them that's factual based? And are we knowledgeable enough to have those conversations? Or are we freezing in paranoia and hoping they don't ask? Let's just hope that you're not in that shoes, right? Two, am I in a relationship with a brokerage? Because right, we're partners, right? Agents, brokerage, there's a relationship there. It's not mutually exclusive. But am I in a situation that I'm going to get what I need, right, to make sure that I can inform my consumers? Am I getting a flow of information presented to me that's in real time? Or am I by myself because I'm trying to be in a cost-saving situation personally for my business that I am left out on an island to figure a lot of those things out on my own? That is some of the things that scare me a little bit of when I look at agents that are out there that aren't getting the support, nor are they aware of the true support that they need.
So you bring up a great point. This is more focused for agents and brokers about this next piece. You know, I think when you ask, there's a company called 1000 What, does a lot of great data research on like either consumers, agents, or brokers. And if you haven't utilized their stuff, highly recommend, you know, at least.
What was that again?
1000 What is the company. Highly recommend just getting... there you got a free newsletter that comes out weekly. They get some really good content. The data source they researched and interviewed about 1,000 agents that had made a change over the past 12 months. There was three things that those agents like made a change for. Local leadership was number one. Number two was marketing. Number three was like tech stack. So if you want to know why those like of the, you know, 1,000 agents that I talked to that actually had moved brokerages the past 12 months, those were the three things. So what it tells you is local leadership, that they do care about people. And we're in this weird dynamic inside the brokerage industry where historical like brick and mortar and having dedicated broker leadership was always the tried and true. That's what we always did. That's like what brokerage did. We had a physical space and we had a broker manager and we had an ops manager and we had front desk, we had a transaction manager, we might have a listing coordinator, we might have a marketing person in there, and we might have, you know, a coach that sits in there as well, maybe productivity. Like, because there was value in the fact that people to people and people development is number one. And I firmly believe around this, I'll stake the flag on it, the best companies in the world are people development focused first. Because no matter what I'm running, if I'm in a painting company and I'm the owner and you're my one of my employees on the team, if I'm dedicated to increasing Dave's awareness on how to best paint a house and how to best do trim work and outdoor, indoor, different types of paint, if I'm dedicated to improving Dave's tradesmanship and information as a painter, he's going to stay with me and he's going to be better to the consumer when he interfaces them on behalf of my company. So I'm taking the real estate side of it, but that's true. So in brokerage, what has happened is that the biggest, you know, cost, which is probably about 50% of your expenses, are salaries and space. So you have innovators, and I think every model is different. But basically what's happened is in our industry, it's perceived as service, meaning like I can clearly tell you the difference between Burger King and Chick-fil-A as a product offering. What I can't do in a service-based one is really understand, hey, here's Joe, here's Dave. Like, can I tangibly feel the difference in their service? No, but it's going to be an experience. So when you're left to service-based businesses, it's an experience, right? And at that point, it can become commoditized because it's not an actual like thing that I can feel,
right?
Something I experience and then get a product because I bought a house at the end. So I look at it and say, okay, so we've got now new innovators within LPT, EXP, Real. You also have some traditional broker like Coldwell Banker and Keller Williams and blah, blah, blah. Like, pick your poison about what you see valuable. But these ones that don't have staff and don't have overhead are basically saying that, hey, one option in real estate is to be just a la carte, like pay for the services you need, and you're going to be, you know, kind of on your own. Go find a coach, go find your tribe. And then you got other ones that say, hey, we've got everything in one fell swoop. So there's different options there. But what it's telling you is that in brokerage, based on like the service offerings, they're saying like, well, I can't really tell the difference. And frankly, I'll just take the cheaper option because I don't actually value leadership because it's been so easy to run a business in real estate since COVID. And now you're seeing a place where people need leadership because like, what do I do in this market? How do I best serve my client? The client's asking me this, they're pushing back on that. They're doing this thing. They're getting different options like Opendoor. And now I think that more than ever, our leaders that are in brokerage, that have been there for years and understand businesses, stand up and lead. Actually articulate what's different, articulate what the consumer needs, and then create an environment that's productive. Because right now you're going back into, like, I'll call it, I think you're going to see some foreclosures upticking. Short sales, maybe, but I think foreclosures are going to happen because people are running low on cash. It's like, what's that marketing thing around it? How do you actually elevate your business experience? Because if you're talking about the future of real estate, the innovation on how the business operates is going to change too, from how you actually, you know, provide value, but then also make a living off the clients you're serving. Like, you can no longer, MLS has told you this, you're not going to get a guarantee enforced by the MLS on what the cooperating compensation is going to be. So you have to show up to Mr. Buyer Dave and say, hey, this is my compensation on the fact that we close on a home. And they have to basically look at that transparently and say, is Joe worth that?
Yeah.
And that's the industry we're in. So like, how do you elevate your value proposition, which is leadership? And then how do you increase your advocacy for your client, basically saying that, like, I'm going to get you in this house, but I'm also going to make sure that you get the best deal known to man. And you also don't risk all your money. And we actually are prudent with how your dollars are spent.
You know, I think we look at the three things. We tech stack. I think everybody's got one or some level of one. And you can checklist, hey, this strength plus or minus. But they're all going to be relatively close to a degree. So there's value in having it and knowing how to use it. But there's going to be variance. You know, the second thing that you had mentioned was marketing, right? Yes. People are looking for the easy button. Marketing is important. How am I getting it? Am I doing it or somebody doing it for me? Again, that might vary from location to location. Leadership, and that's at the top, right? Because mm-hmm. if you're at a consolidated organization where everybody's remote, where's your broker? Who's your yep. broker? Do you know who they are, right? The difference between having a person, a real person, and going, I know who my broker is. I know who my coach is. I know who my technology support guy is from a business leverage standpoint, right? Those things set you apart because you can get a hold of those people. Going in person, fantastic. Being able to go on Zoom, leverage. But if I just want a number and it's literally like at the deli counter where I got to take a number and wait in line for some auto or AI responded, type in your brokerage question here and see what spits out. That leverage is going to leave you incredibly short and challenged when you need to support your people and really be there for them.
I'll leave this, kind of wrap up this podcast about the power of leadership and advocacy in two things. We are in fight, flight, or freeze, and leadership fights. It fights for something that knows it's great for its consumers and its agents and every constituent inside of real estate. Real estate makes up 30% of the GDP, and it is an amazing industry for entrepreneurs, but also not only wealth, but creation of value at the hyper-local level. And what I see in leadership is stand up for something, stop waiting for somebody else to do it, and then jump on the bandwagon. We don't have time for that. You can see it with policy. And here's the biggest policy on that one, is when they talk about the federal government talking about deregulation to help with affordability and all that kind of stuff. That sounds great. And all these buy side incentives around grants and down payments, that sounds great too. Here's the real issue. For real estate to be unlocked and actually create affordability and inventory, it's at the state and local municipality level, and it's going to be inventory driven. I mean, you got to create inventory, which means the biggest issue with your big builders or mid-sized builders is it's taking them 6 to 9 months to get through permitting or zoning, or it's taking 9 to 12 months to rezone something that we all know for needs to be high density to bring affordable housing in. So this is a supply issue, and it's at the state and local levels. And you have to understand to take action as a leader, to advocate for clients and home ownership, but then also to understand advocacy when you're sitting in with your, say, your trade associations or your local municipality, your council people, like your local districts. How are they rezoning and districting the use of land? And if we're not understanding what's happening with that, the amount of economic boom that can happen when you create mixed use, affordable housing, and actually get people into an area that actually appreciates and has small businesses that pay commercial taxes and commercial real estate taxes, you create economic booms. And right now, the advocacy really has to be around how do you create inventory that's affordable for people to pay and do these things. And it's getting hung up at the state and local levels because most people don't realize that the Fed can't go in and dictate in the state of Virginia how land is used. They can create some incentives and some other stuff like that, but inevitably it's going to go through Richmond, right? Like, so understanding when you're sitting, if you're part of NAR and that kind of thing, like show up, listen to what they're saying, and then say, does that make sense for how real estate is intended for it to be used? And yes, not my backyard is a big thing. Like, but if you eventually stop progress, you're hurting generations and you're actually making the wealth gap so much worse inside of real estate, and you're not making it accessible. And I think everybody wants to have real estate as an accessible thing for them.
Yeah. Well, Joe, thanks for this great conversation. And just for everybody, I want to just be clear, right? Leaders lead, but it's okay to be led, but you have to show up, right? You don't have to step up and be the leader, but you have to show up to be the advocate and be willing to be that vehicle of change. Right? You don't have to get into politics. You don't have to join outspoken component on the board, but you got to do more than complain about it on social media. Not kind of leaving it at that. So everybody, thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Entrepreneurial Impact, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Joe.